Welcome to season three of Conversations with Coaches. This is a stakeholder-centered coaching production where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. I'm Brandon Murgard, your host for the show. This season, we go deep into the case study library to discuss the real-life challenges of leaders and the coaches who help them succeed. As an added bonus, we're giving away the latest installment of our case study library, which includes case study summaries, show notes from each episode, and ways you can connect with the guest. Get your copy today at mgscc.net/case-studies. In this episode, we explore the transformative coaching journey of Hannah Ngo with a multinational IT company. Faced with the challenge of enhancing communication across global teams, Hannah's innovative strategies, including live feed forward sessions, have completely changed the way leaders and teams interact, leading to improved project outcomes and team dynamics. Join us as Hannah shares her insights on overcoming communication barriers in a global context and fostering a culture of collaboration and feedback. Come on in. And let's find out more about the client.
The client is an IT company operate in multinational countries, and also they have team in different countries as well with different time zones. And one of the things that they are struggling with is the effective communication between the leaders in this case in the Netherlands and their international teams, which is spreading in different continents. So one of the things that they described to me is in the internet meeting is often very silent. So it's the open team meeting, and most of the time it's just as your managers is talking. So you don't hear the team talking at all the time. That's one of the side. The other side is there's much less interactions. Mostly it's just one-way communications. So the expectation was that in the internal meeting that they would get feedback from the stakeholders, for example, for the products. But instead, they just get silence or no question at all, which is the missed opportunity because that's the chance to improve their products. But without feedback, without interactions, without suggestions, ideas from the stakeholder and from all the teams, they can't improve on the products.
Okay, so you have this IT organization, they're in about 15 countries, hundreds of employees, and they're just not talking. You have a team that is led by the manager, manager's primarily talking, and you're walking into this situation. What are they expecting is going to happen? What expectations do they have of the leader as a result of calling you in?
Well, that is one of the first conversations I have with the leaders and the managers, actually just to understand what they expect from me as well as from the challenge at the assignments. So we got into the places that we agree on the expectation, which is one of the things is after 3 to 4 months, they would expect some improvement in the interaction between the teams as well as the leaders and between the team and the stakeholders. And there are different ways to measure that. For example, the number of feedback questions that raised during the internal meetings, as well as the structures and feedback afterward. And another way to measure that is to see how well the team are working together. So for example, in the internal meeting, at the time, there was less collaboration in the team. And you can see that when the team present their product, you don't hear about they helping each other, support each other, or if they have questions or dependency with each other. So that was one of the things that the companies or the leader would like to stimulate the collaboration between teams. And another point as well is most of the presentation of the team solely focus on the technical part. So that is also one of the problems. Because when the team are talking technically, then the business doesn't understand.
Yeah, this is unfortunately far too common to have teams lacking in communication. And when they are, the technical people are talking technical language and the business leaders are saying, how is this actually moving our needle forward?
So let me take a step back, Hannah, and ask, how did this IT organization find out about you, and how did they actually get in touch with you to help you, to help them start to solve this problem?
Good question. I was actually hired to be the internal coach for the company.
And how did they find you? Like, how did they even know that you were out? Hannah, in my mind, you occupy a space of team expertise. So how did they find out that that's your expertise? And how did they even know to give you a call versus all the other coaches there in the Netherlands?
Well, I have a LinkedIn, and they found me on the LinkedIn as well. And also they saw the recommendation as well, the experience from all the organizations that you my services. And I found them as well. So it's both sides.
Okay. And what did that conversation sound like? Like when they called you, were they articulate? Hey, we have an IT, we have a program manager, team manager. This is their problem. Can you fix it? Or did they call and say, we don't know what's going on, we just know that something's not right? What did that conversation sound like?
Often the conversation is about, we know there's a problem, we just don't know what and where and how to fix it. Which is fun, right?
it's where we like to start. I mean, what coach out there isn't in some form or fashion passionate about the analytics process that gets you just even to the starting line of coaching? But so they call you with somewhat of a question mark. Tell me share with us the process of going from that question mark to getting clear on, you know, what you expect of the leader, what the leader expects from the experience, and what the organization expects of the outcomes.
Well, it's a series of meetings and questions as well from my side, as well as the observations. So what I often do is not just asking and let's say deeper diving in their situation and context, but I also observe. So I often use the first 1 week or few weeks to observe the situation and see how things currently going and what is actually the problems. So that's a combination of both.
Okay. So let's say I'm the client. I now understand what the problem is, who has the influence over the problem, and I've got you here as a coach. What was my experience actually getting coached by you? What did that look like?
Well, thinking there's a lot that you're going to be put on the hot seat. Because I'm going to ask you very difficult questions, challenging questions that you are maybe not really willing to listen to it.
What kind of questions? Can you give us some examples?
So let's say if you could be the leader and you come in to me with the question and the assignment, then I would probably ask you, like, if you could observe the situations, where do you think that you can influence it?
And do they generally have an answer for these types of questions, or is there a lot of floundering? You know, what role do you play in helping them answer that question?
Well, my role would be being the coach and at the same time also the companions to, let's say, partnering with them. Because sometimes people come in with the answer that they already have, the perception that they have in mind. But perception, as you know, is perception is not always the 360 picture of the whole context. So what I would do is actually by asking different type of questions, which makes them think or seeing things in different ways. And sometimes they just don't get the answer because they just not being in that role, right?
So do you come along with suggestions, or do you ever just say like, hey, I've been observing for the last week, just sit with me and you'll very quickly see what I'm seeing? Like, how do you get them to that answer when they don't have it already by themselves?
Great question, Brandon. And it's really depend on the situation and the leaders. So some leader, they would prefer you to tell them, right? They would say, like, save me the time, tell me what's going on. And for some of the leader, you know already for sure that even if you tell them, they're not going to understand that, right? For some leader, they really have to see it by themselves and feel it by themselves. So for that type leader, I actually ask them to observe by themselves. So for example, one of the leader, I actually asked him to sit in the internet meeting, the team meeting, say nothing, and actually just drawing the communication line for 1 week.
Okay, so that's the typical you know, here's a picture of the meeting, who's talking to whom and what that looks like. So at the end of these exercises, which are incredibly powerful, and maybe we'll take a minute and have you, let's do this. Anna, could you actually tell me, if I'm the leader and you're explaining this exercise to me for the first time, how would you explain that? Because maybe our audience at home wants to actually give this a shot.
I would say, Brandon, have you ever curious how the communication in that team is going?
Infinitely. Tell me how to figure it out.
Well, I have a way that just takes you just a few minutes in every team meeting that at the end of the week, it will be very clear to you how it's going on.
What a value proposition, ladies and gentlemen. I'm eager to do this. Hannah, tell me how we make it happen.
All right. Let's just take a, you know, an A4 or just post-it, whatever paper that you have at hand, using a pen, and yes. And then it's just float number of people as numbers of doors in the meeting.
Okay.
And then you just listen to the conversation. And every time if someone talks to someone, you just draw the line from one person to another. And it helps if you already float the name as well. So then...
I'm just going to be making lines between people, who's talking to whom. And is it just one continuous line? Should I be drawing arrows?
Well, yeah, you can just one line between the two people that have in communications and conversation with each other. And if you see that someone is asking multiple questions, you can use different lines. And I think it's just very fun exercise. And also, you know, a good way to keep the drawing techniques update, right?
Absolutely. Well, Hannah, if I've done this, so let's say I've sat down in a 3-hour board meeting, I've been making all of my lines, and then I bring this to you. I say, Hannah, I did the exercise. What do I do with the with the data? So how do you interpret, you know, what I bring back to you on my sheet?
Now, you know, one time it's kind of challenging to read the pattern. But if you do it like for the whole week, for all kind of internal meeting that you have, and if you have some same group of people, that is the easiest part. Because then you can really see how the communication going on. So in this case, for example, if you've done that for 1 week, you come back to me, then I would ask you like, Brandon, if you take a look at all the drawings that you just make for same group kind of people, what do you see?
You know, I'm thinking if I did this in our meeting, I would see patterns such as I would probably see that most questions are directed at one individual and most answers are directed back at one individual. Or I'd say some people are over-indexed in participating and answering questions and some are over-indexed in asking. There's probably a few people who maybe aren't so engaged. You know, what do I do with that information?
Well, another great question, Brandon. And you know that the team identity is actually also bound with the airtime. Mm-hmm. So the airtime is the time that a person actually use in the conversations to speak. So when in the team dynamic, in the team conversation, when you see the unbalanced contribution between different people, that can possibly mean that there's unbalance within the team dynamic and identity as well. That some of people are actually taking the big chunk of the work or the big chunk of the attention and the others doesn't.
Okay, so I should be looking, you know, as a leader, I should be looking to balance some of these lines then, correct?
Yes, actually, as a leader, what you would like probably like most is to see the collaborations strengthen in different parts of the teams. So you actually would like to see all the lines across different peoples and that people have the same kind of airtime in the teams. Because that would also give them the feeling of being valued and also contributed to the team.
Okay. So I'm going to look at my sheet. I'm going to see who has not enough airtime and be intentional about engaging them more. Mm-hmm. You know, and by the way, you know, in my mind, I'm not just asking that person question, but I'm asking questions and having them relay information to the unbalanced people so I can get kind of a multilateral perspective there. But ultimately, as the leader, I want to be aiming for better balance. That's kind of the punchline of the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Well, walk me through some of the coaching that went through. Like, how did you approach this team leader to help them build overall more effective communication channels? Maybe you just walk me through from a high level what your time with them coaching looked like.
Do you mean for this context in these situations?
Mm-hmm. For this particular IT program team leader, we just needed to build more effective communication. Like, how did you, they call you, they say, we have this problem. Sometime down the line, we've got outstanding results. What was the pathway that you took to get them there?
Well, first of all, I sit together with the leader and the stakeholder. I also state the leader, like, who are the stakeholders for you as well as the team? So first, we need to understand who are routed, who are the stakeholders, who can get influence and who are influenced by the results. So in this case, it's the business stakeholder and the managers, and also from higher managers levels, as well as the teams. So first, understand the stakeholders, and second, understand what the expectation from the stakeholder for this leader is. So what I do is I ask the leader, like, what do you think that the stakeholder expect from you?
Do they generally know what they're expecting, or is this kind of a facilitation exercise that you lead?
Sometimes they do know for some of the stakeholder, but sometimes they're just making assumptions and guessings. So if I notice, if they say something, I think they expect this and this and this from me, or I guess, and that kind of words, then you know that probably they are just perceive in their mind what they think that they are expected to do. Get to know the stakeholder and having conversation with the stakeholder to understand what they expect from the leaders. Sometimes the leader can do it by themselves, and sometimes they need a little bit of help. So which means that you can facilitate the conversation or give some kind of exercise that they can try, which is make it easier for them to approach the stakeholders. And another thing is also trying to understand what the group expecting from you as a coaches, because you have the leaders that who actually is the sponsors for the assignments, and you also as a coach you also have the stakeholders. In my case, are the team as well. So I also sit down and have a conversation with the team to understand what they need and how they perceive the whole challenge, because that can be different point of views.
So if I'm this program manager and I say, I think I know what they want. I know you're going to say, hold on. I think is not good enough. And I say, I don't know how to get the answer. I don't know how to talk to the team, or I don't think the team is going to give me a realistic, fair answer. Can you help me? What do you do in this situation to help facilitate collecting that very much needed information?
Well, I would say that, first of all, I would ask you who you think would be the stakeholders, because you have also the managers, for example. Then you basically on one-on-one conversation, you can easily get out that information. But in terms of international team, it's a little bit challenged, as you have to deal with multiple team and multiple time zones. So one of the things I would say, like, there's a few ways to do that. One of the way that you can do is actually just to ask them and be transparent about that. So that one of the questions that go into the internet meeting, like, what do you expect from me? Mm.
And, does that usually get fair, balanced, actionable information?
Well, sometimes it does and sometimes it not. But most of the time you can see from whom that is, because the people who give the answer or suggestion are often also the one who have often communication with you, right? So one of the things I also advise him to do is actually just to sit down with his stakeholder afterward, not just asking for input, but also sit down directly with the stakeholders and the team. In the team, you have often team leaders. And the team leaders are also the one who often have much more communication with the program managers. So one of the ways to collect the feedback from the team is actually just going to the team leaders, which is much easier than 300 people worldwide, right? So what is the easiest way to do? And we know that if you collect feedback or feed forward in this case from different people, that they often see a patterns, right? You can often see that a lot of suggestion or feedback or input are focusing on one point or another.
Something that our clients very often talk about enjoying with stakeholder-centered coaching is the idea of feed forward. We're talking about here asking, what are your expectations of me, or what do you need to see to consider me a more effective leader in this particular area? And that's usually done one-on-one. You introduced me to a concept of live feed forward, which I think is a wonderful application of the technique. Can you tell me a little bit about live feed forward and what that looked like in this IT organization?
I was going to tell you first how that looked like, because that's going to give you the context. So how that looked like is so in the meeting, when before we have the whole agenda of the meeting, we actually start with the live feed forward by setting the context. Like one of the questions to ask is, would you like to say what is your takeaway from the session? What would you like to take away from the session? That's one of the things. And the second question is, would you like to share with us what you like most about the previous sessions?
And this is how you started the meetings?
Yes, for example. Depend on the agenda, because you can really, let's say, this tailor it to the agenda and to the information that you would like to have, let's say, the intention that you would like to have in the conversation.
Okay. And how did that work? Like, I have to imagine that was shocking for at least a few people in the room the first time, right?
It is. And you really had to do it structurally for a few times before it really get it routine and you really get more information gathered. So at first, it can be shock for a lot of people. Then one of the things that you see that you have a few feedback, a few input, but not that much. And one of the things there is just thank for the feed forward in this case, thank for the input. And the next time you use that input and you show them what you've done with the input, right? And you thank them for that. And then you ask for more input. Because one of the things why people are reluctant to give input, because they said, you know, they're not going to do it anyway. So why should I give input? So one of the most important things is follow up. And once you can show them that you follow up with that input purposely, intentionally, and repeatedly, then there will be more people giving you inputs.
And is that what happened here? You started doing this, people were apprehensive, and then the floodgates open, the feed forward comes in. And was the leader actually able to do, you know, action some of these feed forwards?
Yes. We also have feed forward for the leaders and we have feed forward also for the team. Because in this case, as I said, we have broader stakeholders. And in order for this change to happen, it needs to come from different roles and different stakeholders in this case, not just the leaders. Because leader is just one point of communications. So in this case, we also ask, like, what do you as team need from the stakeholders? So you get the input from the team, like they would say something like, we need directions, or we would need clearer acceptance criteria, and that kind of thing. So you would have input from different sides, for different roles, stakeholder to get better at the same time. And one of the things I like the most, because, you know, in the Dutch, they have the saying like, if one ship crosses the dam, then the rest will follow. So when one team takes the input from the stakeholder, in this case, the input was to make the presentation more business value, more concise, and more interactive and fun. So at one point, one of the team picked that up and they actually make the whole movie for it, a short movie, which is very fun and nice. And in the second internal meetings, you see that more team is doing that. Because at the end of the whole internal meeting, we have some kind of feed forwards as well. And we ask, like, what do you like most about today's internal meeting?
And so they made a video internally to share with other teams, hey, here's what we're doing, here's what it looks like, here's the participation.
That's cool, right?
That's very cool. So you had quite an impact on them in a short period. Yeah. Wow. I've never had someone make a movie about the impact I'm having. I'm quite jealous of you right now, Hannah. That's awesome.
Thank you. And I think it's not just about me, but it's also the atmosphere, the whole group, because if you can get everyone make small changes at the same time, then everyone get better. And then they inspire each other to do differently. And that's the great point of the teamwork and the change in bigger group. Because you don't have to do that alone.
It's amazing. Well, you know, tell us what happened. So you're hired to help this leader build better channels of communication. You institute live feed forward. It picks up like a wildfire. You know, what kind of changes were you seeing by the end of the engagement?
Well, there's more interaction. And you can clearly see in the number of questions asked and the interaction between the stakeholder and the teams. And you can also see that the team collaboration increased. Now you're going to ask me, so how are you going to see that in the internal meeting, right?
How are you in my head, Hannah? Yes, tell me.
Well, you can definitely see that when people thank each other. You can see like the number of times that the team actually thanks each other because they get help from other teams.
Mm.
Or they say something like, well, we're going to sit together with this and this and that team after the conversation to figure out the dependency and that kind of thing. Then you can really notice that the collaboration actually increased because the team know where to find each other. And they also, express the gratitude when they get the help from others.
Wow. And what about the, you know, you mentioned earlier that technical teams are too technical and the business teams are not technical enough and just focused on how was the effectiveness of the communication between these varying groups? How did that change?
Well, it's definitely getting better. And yes, we measure it by the feed forward. And second, you can see that in the quality of the question. Because when the team shift their focus from technical part to the business value, then the stakeholder can understand what is that about. Then they can ask the question that really makes the differences. They can give the suggestion that can really bring in the improvement in the product.
And how about you? What did, you know, the clients obviously learn better communication, live feed forward, the impact of following up on that feed forward. What were your takeaways from working with this leader?
Well, my takeaway is first really trying to understand the stakeholder. So not from thinking, guessing, but really having a conversations and asking in-depth questions. Because sometimes you get the information, this is on the above water level, and you really want to get deeper to understand what the problem is and what they really want. And the second thing is for the bigger change in the organizations, we need to hold different roles to change at the same time. If you really want that snowball effect, rolling on its own and getting bigger every time.
Okay, so we've got these elements of working together, of communicating, of co-creation. You know, has this changed? Has using live feed forward changed your idea of the technique and how you'll be using it in the future? You know, how has your coaching itself been impacted and the techniques you're using been impacted from this particular engagement?
It definitely, impact my web coachings. I currently still use live feed forward basically for every assignment that I get, even for the small team and also for the bigger scales. Why? Because probably you know that one of the most important thing is timing and giving feed forward / and feedback input, whatever you call it, right? The time is so important. And one of the things that people thrive is to give it too late. And when it's too late, people don't recognize it. They don't relate to it. the momentum is already over. So with the live feed forward, you get the direct reaction, direct response from the stakeholders, in which you can really relate it. And at the moment, you also have the group, let's say the group atmosphere, that create environment for you to imply that.
Okay, Hannah, so you've got takeaways that are impacting your coaching. We've got takeaways that are impacting the organization. Let's focus on our audience at home. If they're listening to this, maybe they are an IT team. Maybe there's an organization working on more effective communication. Or maybe I'm a coach and I'm working with organizations in these challenges. What can I learn? What can we learn from your engagement that we can go on and apply ourselves?
Well, I actually have a few questions for you so that you can basically try to figure out what's the lesson that you want to learn, because every situation is different. So one of the first questions I actually could ask you is, which kind of change would you like to create bigger impact?
Which kind of change would I like to as a coach?
Yes, to create even bigger impact.
Well, goodness, if I can help people build stakeholder-centered habits, which is exactly what you're doing with Live Feed Forward, you know, people aren't going to need me as much, which, you know, as a business person, we'll have to figure that out. But it means that leaders will be better. It means that families are going to, business people will go home to their families at night in a better mood and happier to be home and with others. People in their communities will be more engaged. I mean, stakeholder-centered habits is the impact I'd like to have.
Wonderful. And in order for that to happen, who are the stakeholders?
Ooh. You know, I'll focus on my role as a CEO. I've got, you know, well, let's talk about this podcast. My number one stakeholder is our audience. And our audience today is going to be coaches, it's going to be organizations, it'll be leaders, team contributors. Yeah, that would be the first people I'm going to look at, our audience. Second people is going to be those who are operating the production pipeline. So our producers, our editors, our writers. And then our senior leadership team. So I'd say four pretty distinct stakeholder groups. And excuse me, I should say our second most important group is actually our guests. So let's say our five particular stakeholder groups.
And for this particular goal, what would they need for you?
I would imagine that Live Feed Forward would probably be a pretty good place to start. Was this what it feels like being interviewed? Woof. I think that probably Live Feed Forward is a really good place to start, to kick off meetings by saying, what exactly do we all want to get out of this meeting? And what do you need from me to achieve that? What do you need from yourselves? What do you need from each other? Following up on that at the end. I think that's a pretty good place to start.
Wonderful, Brandon. Now you make me curious.
Oh, Hannah, you answered the question by asking questions. I like this. What a turn of events. This is like an M. Night Shyamalan twist ending. Yes.
Nice. I'm really curious. Looking forward to that, Brandon.
It sounds like we just set up a sequel interview. So I think based on what I've heard, the takeaways are to ask yourself, where do you want to have a bigger impact? Who has a relevant stake in that impact, either in creating it or who's the beneficiaries of it? And then asking kind of what's the smallest step you can take forward to have a meaningful impact? And then follow up with Hannah about it to get feed forward on what to do next. Is that about right?
Well, you can follow up with me or any of the Marshall Goldsmith Stakeholder Center coach, because they know the process.
Well, Hannah, let me ask you, if I am in the audience today and I've heard these questions and I have an answer for myself, I'm going to go out and I'm going to try it. But, you know, at the end of it, I'm going to need someone to tell me whether I did a good job. Need to give me some more feed forward or feedback. How could I reach out to you? How could I follow your story? How could I get in touch and just find out more about all of this?
Well, you can follow me in LinkedIn, and I have my own website, which is www.growthfutureleaders.com, which you can follow the transformation story, as well as, you know, just contact me if you need some support.
Hannah Ngo
talked about overcoming communication challenges in multinational teams. Her approach to fostering effective dialogue and collaboration has not only improved project outcomes, but also brought the team closer despite their geographical differences. We hope you're inspired by today's episode to apply these strategies within your own teams to drive success. Remember, all the case studies of this season are available for download at mgscc.net/case-studies. The link can also be found in the episode description. And if you'd like to better understand the foundations of leveraging stakeholders and measuring results in your coaching, then join the free training program, Foundations of Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we share the philosophies and frameworks that guarantee improved leadership effectiveness in 12 months or less. You can register for the free course at mgscc.net/foundations-course. Until next time, this has been another episode of Conversations with Coaches by Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, where we believe everyone deserves a stakeholder-centered leader. Thank you for joining the conversation, and stay tuned for more stories of leadership transformation.